Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, China issues etiquette rules for its new Disney theme park, and we have a big cell phone tip for travelers.
Gwen Duncan is here at 3:25 with an update on the Around the World airline tickets that she spoke about last week.
At 3:35, reporter Clayton Whitehead is on hand to tell you the story of a new American art museum in Arkansas and its connection to the Walmart fortune.
At 3:45, I'll introduce you to Bert the Conqueror, the host of a unique show on the Travel Channel, which debuts its third season this Tuesday night.
Be sure to hang around until 3:45 to hear Bert's comical ramblings. I'm definitely watching the show Tuesday night.
And thank you so much for tuning in and spending part of your Sunday afternoon with us, the Travel Guys, right here on KFBK.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man. King of the road. Riding on the city.
With the show.
Welcome, everyone. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK. If you can find us at travelguysradio.com, we're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano in studio. Mark Hoffman again on the open road. Mark, hello there. Where may we find you today?
Roaming the country. I'm in everybody's favorite destination, Duluth, Minnesota.
Well, of course you are.
Well, and you know, actually, this is really very beautiful country up here. I'm up here for some business meetings, abandoned my baseball group in St. Louis night before last, and came up here to Minnesota. We actually were the first plane to land in Duluth in a 27-hour period. Apparently, the airport here gets kind of low ceilings in the summertime, and so it's a little difficult to get in and out of Duluth in the summertime. I'm guessing it's a little tough to get in and out of Duluth in the wintertime, too.
Yes. You know, by the way, Mark, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't say something. You and I are both about the same age. Give me an extra 10 years. But either way, we grew up during the Muhammad Ali Cassius Clay time period. And do you have a fond moment or a particular Cassius Clay, a Muhammad Ali story, a fight or something that you recall from your youth? What?
You know, I remember, Tom, when I was a kid when Cassius Clay / Muhammad Ali was doing his thing. And I remember thinking when I was first introduced to his persona, you know, what a jerk, what an idiot, some things like that. But I will just tell you that over the years, and in fact, fairly quickly, I think that was a man who stood up for things that he believed in and he thought were right, even though it might be at great personal sacrifice. And I know not everybody probably agrees with that comment, but I just think he was a very brave and courageous man. And I think that he as much as any person who's ever walked the planet, he made his mark here. So I don't know that there's a particular fight or event that stands out, but I think that the world is a lesser place today without him.
Hear, hear. I applaud that. I'm right with you there. I feel that it wasn't about any singular things that he did, but clearly the scope of his work will not be forgotten. You know, the kind of the sad part is that you and I, we can remember that time. There are a lot of people that are hearing these stories about this man that literally know nothing about him. Perhaps, as it often is in the news, in the recaps, in the stories and the specials that will follow, a whole new generation will discover this man, and I think that's a good thing. Anyway, we're back to the Travel Guys here on KFBK. You're in Duluth. It must have been kind of tough for you to have to abandon your travelers as they were headed to a Giants game, weren't they?
Literally, as they were headed to a Giants game, and that didn't go well last night. The Giants got off to a big lead, and the Cardinals kiboshed them later on, but they're still there for a game. We were in Chicago earlier in the week, Tom, and with this baseball group, and we had the privilege of going to Wrigley Field for a tour and then going to Wrigley for a Cubs game. And uniquely, I've never been at Wrigley Field when the Cubs weren't playing the Cardinals or the Giants. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always rooting for the visiting team. But this week, the Cubs were playing the Dodgers. Most of the folks in the group were very comfortable with rooting for the Cubs, who put a licking on the Dodgers on Thursday, much to our approval. I will tell you that Wrigley Field, which, you know, it's a wonderful old historic ballpark, but for many, many years, it's been a terrible place to watch a baseball game. Just because no creature comforts, restrooms that you could smell a block from the ballpark, dingy food stands. The Ricketts family has done an amazing work over on Wrigley Field, and it is just... It's a classic old ballpark now, and there are at least a few creature comforts, and the restrooms don't smell, and the food's better, and three cheers for Wrigley Field. It's back on the list of places to see when you're in Chicago for certain.
Outstanding. Yeah, if you're a baseball fan, then you put that one on your bucket list for sure.
Well, and besides Chicago, just down the road where our group went to by train is St. Louis. And, of course, there is no better baseball city in the country than St. Louis. I would say conservatively 70% of Cardinal fans come to Cardinal games dressed in some kind of gear, including jerseys and stuff from guys that have been dead for 20 or 30 or 40 years. The Cardinal fans are—it's going to a baseball game in St. Louis is a real experience, and you don't really have to be a baseball fan to enjoy a night at the ballpark in St. Louis because it's really kind of a cultural Midwestern event. It's you have to go there, I think, to really know what's going on. So, Thomas, what did you do this week?
Well, you know, first of all, I had an opportunity to visit Poor Red's, which recently reopened up in El Dorado. A lot of folks listening know of Poor Red's, have gone there over the years, and they basically did a facelift and a makeover, and I'll tell you, the pulled pork sandwich and from what I understand, the gold Cadillacs are as good as ever. I do have a little bit of information. I spent a couple of days on this project having to do with trying to change a mistake, which really wasn't, turns out to, well, I thought it was mine. I had booked a trip to a baseball game in Colorado, and when I got and this is through Interval Internationals, where I have part of my timeshare banked, and when I booked it, I booked what I thought was like June 30th through July the 3rd. When I get the itinerary, I look and it has July 3rd through the 6th. Now, that's not going to work because the baseball game isn't going to be on those days. And so, you know, I call them up and I say, look, you know, I did it online as well. In fact, I even had one of their people on the phone with me. But somehow or another, you know, I says, you know I clicked on June 30th and July the 3rd. And there's a fee associated with this, like $169. It's non-refundable, non-changeable. And they says, sorry, Mr. Romano, you just goofed up. I took this from one particular service rep to the other, to the very top, and still got pretty much the same answer. Sorry, there's nothing we can do. I had to rebook the right dates, pay another fee, and then I was given the opportunity in an email to plead my case. Bottom line, they called me back. They said their computer system had been doing this from time to time, where you select a date and it jumps and picks other dates. Okay? So they weren't able to get me the dates I wanted because the hotel wasn't available. But they refunded my secondary fee and apologized. So, you know, a word to the wise, if you think there is nothing you can do and you work your way through all these service representatives in any environment in regards to your travel, you know what? If they tell you to go ahead and fill out one of those online complaints or surveys, do it. Do it right away. And then, you know what? Sometimes things work out in your favor, and to prove once again the computers do have these glitches and it can happen, and good for Interval International to actually admit their error. They could have very easily stuck me for two resort fees and that would have been it. Well, okay, so that's my week in a nutshell. Let's fire up the travel news music and see what's going on in the travel news with you, Mark.
All right, I got it for you here, Tom. We started out in the headlines by talking about a cell phone trip for business travelers. Listen, a very high up, a gentleman named Joram Borenstein, who is the vice president of marketing for a New York-based financial crime software solutions provider. Whew, that was a long sentence.
I was going to say, is that a real name?
Yeah, basically, here's the bottom line. If you are using open Wi-Fi when you're running around and doing it at airports and stuff, what this gentleman is saying is you need to bite the bullet and pay for the phone signal. And phones, this gentleman says that the phone signals are hacked, are practically impossible to hack into, as opposed to a Wi-Fi signal at the airport or the restaurant is so open to the public. So it's just, that's something that I've done for a number of years myself, is paid for the Verizon service so that I have a signal basically anywhere there's a Verizon signal. And now comes word that it is indeed much more secure than logging on to public Wi-Fi sites, which certainly makes sense. Delta Airlines made an announcement this week. I think it's going to make people pretty happy who are flying Delta. They announced Friday that in-flight entertainment options will be free for passengers on about 90% of the airline's flights. So make sure that if you are flying Delta sometime in the foreseeable future, that you log on and download their app so that you will be able to, onto your various entertainment devices, so that you'll be able to be entertained while you are on, while you are flying through the sky.
Now, I have to interrupt just briefly. Oftentimes when we find they provide you with a lot of free things to entertain yourself on the plane, that means they're going to scooch all the seats another 4 inches closer together. And try to distract you with the entertainment. What's going on with Delta?
You're a cynical man.
Yes.
I haven't seen anything about that yet, but I will keep my eyes peeled.
Okay.
For something on that. Yeah, you're right. Every time they try to distract us, it means that the seats are getting closer together. Okay, theme cruises are very popular, and they're going to heat up a little bit next year when the original group, a Mexican adult hospitality curator, puts on the Desire Cruise aboard Azmara's Club Cruises, Azmara Quest. Is the name of the ship. The couple's only clothing optional sailing is scheduled from September the 26th until October the 3rd in the Mediterranean. It's a round trip from Italy. And the
you cut out CEO said, you cut out for just a second. It's a round trip from where?
It's a round trip from Venice, Italy.
Okay.
So you have to get to Venice to take this, and it's basically, it's clothing optional. Erotic highlights are set to include private playrooms, adult-oriented entertainment, provocative theme nights, exquisite culinary experiences, and sensual staterooms.
Well, you know, the fact that it's starting in Venice, Italy, you know, mm-hmm. how those Italians are. They probably already got that all booked. Is it sold out already,
probably.
Right? Yeah.
All right. The latest in the TSA long line battle is that the TSA is saying now that the government has taken, Congress has taken $13 million in money collected as part of the so-called 9/11 fund and used it, diverted it to reduce the deficit. And the TSA people are saying, hey, if you didn't take all of our money all the time, we wouldn't have so much trouble getting everybody through security. So the battle goes on between TSA and the people who have to put up with it. Did you see the president? Was in Japan, and he sat down and had a meal with Anthony Bourdain last week.
Yes.
Yes, pretty cool.
What does that mean to the travel guys in San Francisco?
Well, it means that when Anthony Bourdain comes to San Francisco in November and Sports Leisure Vacations and the travel guys go to see him, why, I have no doubt that we will hear a little bit about dining with the president. Don't you think that would be probably on the...
I betcha.
On the agenda? Yeah. I'm thinking maybe so. Shanghai has, they're opening a new Disneyland park over there, and Shanghai has issued some etiquette guides for visitors. They had a soft opening of the park last month, and they developed some rules after they noticed uncivilized behaviors were observed. So the new guide warns tourists visiting the Disneyland park in Shanghai against littering, being rowdy, vandalizing, cutting in line, damaging the landscape, and other uncouth behaviors such as lying down on the ground. I'm not sure how that gets qualified, but
I don't know.
In China.
I suppose if their lines are as long as they are at the theme Disney parks in the United States, sometimes you feel like you need to lie down.
Yeah, that could very well
be. Can I just lie down for an hour and a half while I'm waiting in line? Okay.
One last little news item here, and that is comes from to us from the airport in Atlanta, where a Qatar Airways flight flew 7,400 miles from Doha to Atlanta, only to find out that the last few hundred miles, few hundred yards of the journey could be really a little, could be the most difficult. It appears as though Delta, there's only one gate in Atlanta that will handle the very big, the new Super 380 jumbo jets. And so Qatar Airways needed to use that jet, that gate. And, you know, we're really busy this day, and you won't be able to use it. So they had to unload 300 passengers, actually closer to 500 passengers, on the tarmac and walk them into the terminal. This because Delta Airlines and Qatar Airways are having a little bit of a dispute, and it has now spilled over onto, and there is a video online of 500 people traversing into the Atlanta airport. Welcome to the United States. Our airline doesn't want to give you a gate to land at, and that is your travel news for today.
There you go. They got to stretch their legs a little early. All right. We talked last week with Gwen Duncan about these around-the-world trips. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, and particularly the airfare. That's coming up next here on The Travel Guys. Welcome, everyone. If you just run across us here on the radio, we are The Travel Guys every Sunday, 3 to 4. Our main goal is to make you a smarter traveler and then entertain you along the way. Don't forget now, coming out, we've got Bert Kreischer. Bert is the host of a show called Bert the Conqueror. If you've ever run across it on the Travel Channel, it's a lot of fun. If not, we're going to be talking with Bert coming up at about 3:45. Clayton Whitehead from Sports Leisure Vacation joins us after the bottom of the hour news. Talk about what the heirs of the Walmart fortune are doing. It involves American art. You're going to love this. So keep it right here. Mark, you with me there?
I sure am. And we have Gwen Duncan on the line with us now. Gwen, are you joining us?
Yes, I am.
Okay. We're scattered all over the place. Gwen, last week you had a great segment about around-the-world tickets, and we really didn't have enough time to get into it. And you've gathered up some great information, which we have posted at TravelGuysRadio.com. And I wanted to give you just a minute to tell folks a little bit about what we were talking about last week and where they can go from there.
Oh, okay. Well, to start off, there are a lot of great opportunities if a person is flexible in time and is tight on money and wants to see the world. Around the world tickets are a great way to do it. And there are several ways you can buy the tickets. I know we are limited in time right now, so I put all four options on the website. So you can look to see different ways that you can purchase these tickets. But to get an idea, for instance, I looked up a couple of fares because I know you wanted to talk about that. And you can leave from Los Angeles, go to Tahiti, continue down to Auckland, go over to Dubai, to go to United Kingdom and back to L.A. for as little as $1,869, depending on what time of year you're flying.
Now, Gwen, it sounds to me like in looking at your information here and stuff, and we have posted this at TravelGuysRadio.com, and I think it's on your website too. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
And so the basic thing here is that the more complicated your ticket gets, perhaps the more expensive it's going to be. If you can stay within some certain parameters and guidelines, which you have listed here, then it would definitely be a good idea. But I would tell folks that if you're going to attempt something like this, that you definitely want to get a travel consultant. Even if you don't want them to write the ticket for you, it would pay you to pay them a few dollars to help you put this together. Wouldn't you say that would be some good wisdom?
Yes, in fact, not only can they save you money, but they can throw in free segments. I mean, I did a lot of research on this over this last week. I posted it all on my website. But if you use a ticket broker, you pay a few dollars more, but it saves you a lot of time. They know all the tricks, what we call gaming the rules. You know, they know what the different airlines require. One thing I want to mention, if you got a few seconds, is that I had mentioned last week that they've got the Star Alliance, the One World and the like, you know, and Sky Team, the ones where you stay within certain parameters of those airlines within each one of those umbrellas. But Emirates doesn't belong to any of them. and they do their own round of the world. And I found one that leaves from L.A., goes to Sydney, Bangkok, Dubai, Rome, Milan, New York, and back to L.A., and it only came to 2059. Now, I thought that was pretty incredible when you consider Emirates as pretty high ranked.
Yes, it really is. Gwen, we're running out of, we're running up against the news
that.
And the clock
yeah.
here. TravelGuysRadio.com or CYTravel.com, am I right there?
Yes, go CY Travel.
Go CY Travel. Thank you, Gwen.
Thank you so much.
All right, appreciate you. Gwen Duncan, the news is next at the bottom of the hour here on KFBK, and then we'll be back with word about a new museum in Arkansas and some more on the Travel Guys.
And don't forget, for those that are listening, one of the things that Gwen didn't bring up, but I know that we have in the past, is that whenever you decide to travel on your own, and you're going to book your own flights, and you're going to book your own hotels, and you're going to leave the country, one of the big issues is that if something goes wrong and things aren't happening in the way that you would like, or how about if one of your party or yourself might get ill, how are you going to get home? And if you've got yourself a travel agent, such as a Gwen Duncan or whoever it may be, back at the mainland, they can help you put all the pieces together and get you back safely. Wouldn't you agree, Mark?
Oh, absolutely. And I would really, really tell folks, when you're going to do something like this, you're going to visit four or five or six foreign countries, and you're probably flying on more than one airline. You really do not want to book this through a third part, an online travel agency. You want somebody who can advocate for you in case you get somewhere and get into some trouble that you can't get out of yourself. Tom, before we cut to the news here, we need to quickly do the Sports Leisure Vacations travel card giveaway. We did not have a winner last week, so we have a $200 travel card to give away today to Bill Sheldon, who was with us on our mystery trip a couple weeks ago. So, Bill, if you call the Sports Leisure office Monday or Tuesday before 4:30, you can claim a $200 travel card.
There you go. Okay, news is next, and then Clayton Whitehead joins us right here on The Travel Guys. Mark and Tom, The Travel Guys here, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for coming along this afternoon. I know Clayton is quite the arts kind of guy, both architecturally as well as paintings and so forth. How about yourself? Is that something that you're into?
Architecture, maybe not so much. Although there are, the outside ballparks, I think, are someplace that strikes me. But Clayton has found an art museum that is fast becoming, in a little town in the middle of nowhere, that's really fast becoming one of the world-class art museums. It's in Bentonville, Arkansas. And it's called something about Crystal Bridges, isn't it, Clayton? Welcome to the Travel Guys, by the way.
Thank you. It's Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art. And the name is really important for two reasons. One, the architecture, which I'll talk about in a moment. But second, American art. Only works of art by Americans and or of American subjects are in the museum, spanning 500 years from the pre-colonial era to the present day.
Wow, what a broad coverage. So this is in Bentonville, Arkansas, which, if folks don't know, is the headquarters of Walmart.
That is correct.
And there's a story behind this, because this museum has been built or financed by one of the heirs to the Walmart fortune, but only one, not all three.
Yes, that's sort of it. Like him or not, Mr. Sam Walton got very, very wealthy on Americans and our desire to spend at his store, but he was not the most philanthropic person in the world. When he passed, he left his three kids a huge, huge, huge fortune. Of the three kids, one of them, Alice, started a foundation. So officially, this is some of her money and some foundation money. But either way, she, according to Forbes, is valued at $30.2 billion with a B.
Oh, my goodness.
So she has a few dollars here, and she wanted to give back. So back in about 2000,
she should have called me. I would have been
exactly.
more than happy to have accepted whatever she had on spare change on hand.
Right. Well, back in 2005, the foundation that she oversees started playing with the idea of a world-class art museum in the tiny little town of Bentonville, Arkansas. And that became reality on November the 11th, 2011. It's called Crystal Bridges, and I said that was significant because the building itself is seven suspension bridges, completely enclosed. I mean, it's, they're galleries. But it crisscrosses back and forth over this over the little stream that runs around downtown Bentonville. And the architect of the project was Moshe Softay, who is an internationally known architect, buildings all over the world.
So this museum isn't actually on the ground.
Well, it connects to the ground on the edges, but yeah, not in the middle. The water runs through the middle.
So it is, architecturally speaking, it's a very unique structure.
It's a stunning building architecturally by one of our world's greatest living architects. And it's a perfect setting for American art. So much of what makes our art distinctively American is the beautiful landscapes that our country, more so than any other country on the planet, we have these extraordinary landscapes from coast to coast, from north to south.
Thomas Kincaid kind of
thing. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And these landscapes are beautiful to look at on a canvas, but how much more beautiful when you're in a glass building looking out at real landscapes while you're looking at the art.
How interesting. The building itself serves as the backdrop, as the venue to allow people to see from not only things that are inside, but things that are outside. All right, before our listeners wonder why we're spending so much time talking about an art museum in a small town in Arkansas, not only are people starting to go to this museum in fairly large numbers, but it just so happens that Sports Leisure Vacations has a trip to Arkansas this fall where you are going to visit this museum. So tell us a little bit about this unique tour.
Absolutely. About 500,000 people a year visit the museum, and we're going to get right in line in September. The trip is September 23rd through 29th, 7 days and six nights in Arkansas. We'll be featuring the Little Rock area, of course, the Clinton Library, Heifer International, the historic sites there. We'll be spending a day in Hot Springs, also heading over to Fort Smith, Arkansas, and Fayetteville. I would say Suey the right way, but I think it would bust everyone's eardrums, but
Does Fort Smith have some kind of a tawdry history?
I knew you were going to catch me on that one. Fort Smith has the only brothel in America that's located on the National Register of Historic Places. And not only that, it serves as their city's welcome center. And not only that, but let's just say that Miss Laura, who is the proprietor there, she and I are very good friends. So our folks can anticipate quite a welcome there.
Now, you mentioned Hot Springs is on this itinerary,
yes,
too.
Yes, Hot Springs.
A lot of people don't know. I'm, of course, a huge baseball fan. That was where the first spring training was held.
Back that is absolutely right.
Back in the days of Babe Ruth, they used to send the ballplayers down there, Tom, to sweat out everything they had drank over the winter. That was the theory, that you would go to Hot Springs and you would sweat out all of that ick that you had put into your body.
Today, the entire city is a national park, and some of the old bathhouses are still operational.
Are still there, yeah. And mm-hmm. So you've got a presidential library,
yep,
involved here. You've got a national park. You've got one of the world's great museums. I'm guessing Arkansas, too, probably isn't the most expensive destination in the country.
I think it's a very reasonably priced trip. Folks can go online or call our office for more information, and then you'll be on your way to seeing, gosh, Andy Warhol's, Norman Rockwell's, Wayne Thiebaud's, George O'Keefe's, and all in this stunning, stunning building, the Crystal Bridges Museum of Art.
You answered my question next, Clayton, was the art within the art, you might say, is some of it will be recognizable by your travelers.
Absolutely. Norman Rockwell's Rosie the Riveter, I think, is probably the iconic photo that represents the entire World War II era. And you can see her live and in the flesh hanging on the walls there. And then I also have to say, Mrs. Walton bought my most favorite Andy Warhol, which is the Dolly Parton with the big pink lips. I just love that.
Didn't he do a picture of a Campbell soup can or something
like that? Yeah, and she has the three Coke bottles as well by Andy Warhol.
Okay, so a lot of classic American works of art.
Yes.
All American works of art, but many, many classics,
right,
are here in Bentonville, Arkansas, and there is an airport there, so you don't have to go with Sports Leisure Vacations. You can go on your own. If you go looking for the Bentonville Airport, you're going to find, interestingly enough, Tom, that there is no Bentonville Airport. It's Northwest Arkansas Regional Airport,
which Miss Walton also built.
Let me just tell you, you go to Bentonville. Is there a Walmart element in this tour at all? There a Walmart in Bentonville?
There is a Walmart in Bentonville. Hey, it's a super Walmart, too.
I imagine it would be.
But downtown, the original Walton's 5 and 10 is still an operative, kind of a faux dime store now, and then behind the retail area is a museum on the history of Walmart, and it ends in an ice cream parlor. I mean, how American as that.
Wow, wow. That is pretty cool. It is, again, the name of it's the Crystal Bridges Museum.
Museum of American Art.
And it's in Bentonville, Arkansas.
Bentonville, Arkansas.
And you are going in late September. So if folks would like to go with you, you can go to travelguysradio.com and you'll find a link there to Clayton's trip. And if you have any questions, why, fill out the little form there and we'll fire them off to Clayton and he can answer them for you because he is the cultural arts man here of the Travel Guys. Thank you, Clayton, for coming in today and sharing a little bit with us.
Thank you, Mark and Tom.
And to make it a little easier for you, when you go to travelguysradio.com, go down to Highlights. Look right in the middle. It says Sex at Sea. No, skip that one. Shanghai Issue Etiquette Guide. No, skip that one. And then there it is, an Arkansas Rendezvous, Sports, Leisure, Vacations. Click there, and you'll be on your way. All right, coming up in just about 3 minutes, we're going to be joined by Bert Kreischer, host of Bert the Conqueror. We're going to talk about Season 3. You're going to love this next on The Travel Guys. Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And again, we have the privilege to venture into the world of the Travel Channel and talk with another special guest today that's got new episodes coming up. And I think one of the best ways to start this off is for you to listen real closely to the following.
I'm in Saluda, South Carolina, the Hutto Family Farm. Try redneck water skiing. What's that? We'll take the ocean and subtract that and replace it with a muddy pond, then get rid of the ski boat and use a track hoe. That's redneck water skiing. It is dangerous. I repeat, dangerous. Do I have what it takes to make it around the pond? I can't get up. I can't get up at all.
Hold the on.
Okay. Oh, yeah. This has disaster written all over it. There's nothing I'm gonna turn down.
Throw me off your building!
I am Bert the Conqueror.
Yeah, and our special guest is on the line, Bert the Conqueror. I love I love your promo. Bert, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Well, okay, it's season three. Coming up this Tuesday, you got back-to-back episodes. Why don't we start off with, first of all, talking a little bit about you, and then we'll talk about the episodes. Now, Bert Kreischer, for some of you, may have an opportunity to see him when he was a full-time comedian. Is that correct?
Yeah, I still do comedy. I just shot a Showtime special a couple months ago that'll air in a couple months.
Okay, and then somewhere along the line, the Travel Channel reeled you in for this particular program. Tell me a little bit about it for those that may have not had an opportunity to wander across Bert the Conqueror over the last few seasons.
Well, I think, you know, the show in premise was just like any good eating show, like Guy Fieri or Adam Richman, where you just sample what America has to offer and you show everyone what's out there to give them an idea of what to find on the road. And instead of getting a stunt pilot or like a daredevil, mm-hmm. they got an everyman, and that's me, just a regular guy to tip like run of the mill anxiety issues, not in great shape, and they had me go out and try everything we've got, and I've just about done it all. You know, we go jet blading, we do free falls, we find prototype rides. I mean, we literally have 14 different states, and find everything there is to offer thrill wise.
Well, speaking of thrills, let's take a look at some of the most extreme rides that you've been on so far. Give me your top one or two in regards to theme rides.
I think without question, I did a ride in Six Flags, New Jersey, called Zumanjaro. It's a 450-foot drop ride, 425-foot drop ride. And literally, the average drop ride is about 200 feet, so you free fall for a couple seconds, and the ride catches you, and you go, before you realize you could have died, it's already stopped. Well, the thing with this one is this one free falls for another couple seconds, so as you're falling, you're literally going, wait, it didn't stop, I'm going to die, and I had a full-blown panic attack at the bottom, but like a celebration of life panic attack, like the kind of panic attack where the guy who performed the ultrasound says, oh, this is a natural lump on your kidney, and you start crying like celebrating life. That was hands down one of the greatest things I did. And I also was the first person to jump off the stratosphere. You can find that online. It's hilarious too, because I tried to back out of it, and because it's 1100 foot free fall.
Yeah, this is the one in Vegas, right?
Yeah, you free fall for 16 seconds,
oh my.
And I was the first person to do it, And literally, they're throwing water dummies off before me, and I'm just freaking out. I call the production company. I'm like, I can't do it. And they're like, that's fine. Just you got to back out at the last minute. I'm like, okay, cool. So in my head, I'm like, I'll get up there. I'll have the big swagger. I'll get up to the edge. And then I'll be like, I can't do it. You guys made something I can't do. Like a real boss move. Well, it is a media event. I mean, the mayor's out there, showgirls, a magician. Kids have been let out for school. They're cheering me on, like chanting Bert the Conqueror. I get to the edge. I'm about to back out, and my camera man says, hey man, nothing for nothing, but if I were you, I'd just jump. It'd be easier to jump than
to jump than the back out.
Then to explain for the next 10 years why you never jumped. So at the last minute, I go, screw it, and I jump, and I land, and it's beautiful. I mean, the mayor meets me with a shot of tequila. Showgirls are kissing my cheek. A magician pulls a dove behind my head. It's gorgeous, and our producer comes up, and she's like, we missed it. I was like, what? She's like, we didn't think you were going to jump. Like, we didn't have cameras ready for you down at the bottom.
Oh, no.
So we had to do it again.
Oh, and there you go. We'll put a link to that at travelguysradio.com. Let's move on to stunts. Now, for those that don't know a lot about the show, Bert, not only does he do rides all across the country, but you we had a clip of it at the beginning of the interview here where you were redneck water skiing. And so you do stunts as well. Tell me about one of the most unusual, and that had to have been one of them, most unusual stunts that you've been involved with so far.
Well, that was one of the most unusual ones. That guy, that family had created that redneck water skiing, and the cows were going to the bathroom in the water. And all I kept thinking is, I'm going to get hep C. Yeah. And everyone's like, well, no, you can't get hep C, I don't think. And so that was probably the most insane one we did was out at the Pope Family Ranch in Utah. They had a backyard slingshot. It's two huge telephone poles up 100 feet with bungees strapped over top of them. They throw a rope up top, pull the bungees down, harness you into a climbing harness into the bungees, then sit you on the back of an ATV, and the ATV takes off. And when you can't hold on anymore, you slingshot out at like 80 miles an hour, 100 feet into a canyon, back and forth, just, I mean, skimming the ground. That one was freaky.
You know, we were talking about the stratosphere and backing out. Was there one, either a stunt or whatever, you said, you know what, I don't think this is for me?
No.
Or is Bert truly the conqueror?
No, never. I've never backed out anything. That's, you know, I think it's part of the gig is that you got to try it all. And I've been hurt. You know, I fell off a waterfall filming my other show, Trip Flip. But, you know, part of it is you trust, you know, they give you very simple instructions. And if you just follow those instructions, usually you won't get hurt. It's when you're messing around or when it's too simple or you get too confident, that's when you get hurt.
Of all the different states that you've been in, California is on your list. I know there's been a lot of them, and I don't know if you'll be able to recall it. But what particular roller coaster and or stunt did you tackle here in California?
Well, we did the whole West Coast. So we started with Jetpack America in San Diego, but that's a different type of jetpack. That's the one strapped onto your back. It's not like the typical water blades where they're strapped to your feet. But we started in San Diego, then went up to Knott's Berry Farm, and I rode rides with my daughters, which is like a dream because it's great to get your daughters sure. into the mix. So I took my daughters on a ride and then went all the way up, ended up passing through Sacramento and ended up in Oregon, and landed it at the end in Washington for the big tomato battle, which was maybe the biggest mistake of my life because I didn't realize
tomato battle.
It's all rotten tomatoes in a parking lot, so it smelled horrible, and these people were like animals. They're just literally no one. Everyone's like it was just absolutely insane. And I my eyes teared up, and I fogged up my goggles, and I couldn't see, and I got trapped in the tomatoes, and it was just chaos.
This is just basically a big, giant tomato fight.
It is a huge tomato fight with tons of rotten tomatoes.
Oh, boy. All right, Bert, by the way, for those of you just tuning in, you're listening to The Travel Guys, our special guest, Bert Kreischer. He is the host. He is the Bert the Conqueror. The premiere episode for season 3 is coming up this Tuesday. It's at 8 o'clock. Bert, tell us about premiere episodes coming up this Tuesday.
Well, we have a double premiere episode, and we start off with an old nemesis of mine. I go over to Maine to something I've wanted to do forever, and that's the Greasy Pole competition. I did it season 2, and I just was so bad at it, I was embarrassed.
Did you say the Greasy Pole competition?
Yeah, the Greasy Pole competition.
Okay,
are
what's
you familiar
that?
With it?
No, I'm just guessing it's a greasy pole and you got to climb it or something.
No. It's an old fisherman's tradition in Gloucester, Massachusetts.
Okay.
So the fishing family has built a dock in the middle of the bay, and it stands anywhere, depending on the tide, from 40 to 20 feet above the water. And there's a 40-foot greased-up pole extending out like jutting out. And at the end, there's a flag, and they load it up. And then all these fishermen run out on the pole and try to traverse the pole to get to the end of the 40 feet, grab the flag. And if you grab the flag, it's an honor for the entire year. You're celebrated, you know? And so
okay.
I did it season two, and I had such a horrible showing that I was just – I mean, I was embarrassed. And so I ended up, we ended up going back out. But we hit a few parks on the way. We go out and we try Wicked Cyclone, which is a brand new hybrid ride, which is an old wooden coaster mm-hmm. that they've laid steel I-beams in. So you go faster, you can do barrel rolls, you can flip upside down. And it really is like putting a ride on steroids, like genuinely.
Amazing. You have one of those gigs. I think all of us, that especially those in media, maybe did a little bit of TV, you look at the different things that you've done and you go, being a professional fun seeker and a travel enthusiast, taking on the wildest, tallest, most adrenaline pumping rides, and you get to do that and you get paid to do it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, I have gift. I woke up one morning in Jamaica. I was sleeping out on a peninsula. My room was on the tip of a peninsula, and my view was of the peninsula. I had an infinity pool and a hot tub, an outdoor shower, and a woman woke me up with freshly ground Jamaican coffee mm-hmm. and said to me, "How do I get your job?" And it dawned on me. In a moment of clarity, I went, "I got the greatest job in the world, like literally in the world."
Yeah, I would. I'm with you there. Bert, anything else about the new season you want to tell our listeners before we let you go?
Just enjoy it. Share it with your friends. If you like it, you know, don't be shy. Put it on Facebook. Put it on Twitter. Tell everyone you know. And if you don't like it, don't tell a soul.
Bert Kreischer, Bert the Conqueror, coming on this Tuesday, 8 o'clock, Travel Channel. Bert, thank you so much for spending some time with the Travel Guys.
Thank you so much. You guys have a great weekend.
All right, buddy. Enjoy.
Right.
See you next
right,
time.
Bye-bye.
And a big special thanks to our friends at Daybreak Production, Alan, who always lines us up with some great guests from the Travel Channel, and Bert Kreischer, definitely one of my favorites. I'm looking forward to following his adventures. Don't forget now, that's on the Travel Channel, Season 3, premiering Tuesday at 8 o'clock our time. You're going to love it. We are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom. Want to take a moment to thank everyone who's participated in putting this radio show together and remind you that you can find out about this particular program and all of our shows past and in the future at TravelGuysRadio.com. And if you'd like to download a podcast, they're all there going back for about 3 or 4 years. You can also find us at iHeartRadio.com, no matter where you are. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned. We got the news coming up next. We'll see you next Sunday, 3 o'clock, for the next edition of The Travel Guys. Stay well.